Father's Day, like you say, somebody said Mother's Day is every day. Father, too. Every day. Because the Father that I'm thinking about created the days. And to Him be glory and honor and dominion over all things. Glad you decided to have your corporate worship with us. Not because we are so special, but because all of us are God's children. And we just thank you for blessing us to be in worship service with you today. Subject is the great promises of God. Anything that God does is something that nobody else can do. Only a fraction of the part of it because of who He is. Thank you, ushers. We appreciate you. You too, Terry Cooper. We appreciate you. The promises that God made to Abraham were conditional from Abraham's side, and they were unconditional from God's side. Conditional from Abraham's side because if he did not do what God had said for him to do, he would not receive the blessings of God. Unconditional from God's side because God's going to keep His word. Nothing Abraham did would stop God from doing what God was going to do. And can I just tell you, you too? Yes. Me too? Yes. You cannot undo what God said that He would do. And He's true. His word is true. Said that somewhere, didn't it? His son, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Some kind of way in the book of John. He said that, and He is that. Abraham had to do exactly what God demanded in order to receive the full benefit of the blessings of God. If Abram believed God and did what God said, he would receive the promises of God. If he did not believe God and refused to do what God said, he would not receive the promises of God. Abram, just like you and I, he had to believe God. We have to believe God enough to obey Him enough to separate ourselves from the world that we know and that we follow after. We need to go after God and His promises. Abram had to believe God enough to make a supreme sacrifice to God. And the sacrifice that he had to make to God is the same one we have to make. And that is ourselves. We have to surrender ourselves. We have to sacrifice our life and give up this world that we see, that we think is all of that. Abram had to totally give himself over to God. He had to surrender. That's one of them songs, Lord, I surrender all. It's a whole lot easier to sing it and pray it than it is to live it. You have to live a surrendered life to God. We have to die to ourselves and seek after God with our whole heart. And that kind of bothered me at first when I read that. It said we must seek after Him with our whole heart. So how could we go at it with part of the heart? And that's the way we do, most of us, if not all of us, at some time or other in our lives. We have come to God. We just come. I can't speak for nobody else. So my wife would get off my back. So she'll leave me alone. I'll come. That's half-hearted. because God want me to come because of my love for him. And I found out something, brothers, since this is Father's Day, I'm going to talk to you. That I found out that when I sure enough fell in love with Jesus, I ain't talking about acting like. I ain't talking about loving him enough just to get what I want. I ain't talking about lusting after him. You can lust after God, but most times when we use lust, we use it in a wrong way. But you can want God so bad that you just lust after him, and that's the way you need to come. You need to come after him as if he is the only thing that there is alive that can satisfy what you have a need for. And I found out when I sure enough fell in love with Jesus. That's when I found out I love my wife and my children and my family. When I fell in love with Jesus, I found out that I could forgive him for a lot of stuff that didn't even matter. In the yesterdays, it mattered. But today, it just don't make no difference. Go home and she doesn't want to cook, it don't make no difference. If she cook, I'll eat. If she does not cook, I won't eat. I mean, I still love her, and she's going to cook. If I ask her to cook, she'll cook. But my point is that it doesn't upset my apple cart. Because I found out something. Here it is. He said, I'm bread. I'll be milk. I'll be water. I'll be meat. All it's right here in this word. You can eat this word and it'll fill you up. And you won't gain weight. Won't mess with your cholesterol. Won't mess with your A1C. If you eat this word, this word will keep you healthy and you can survive Father's Day. Point number one. God promised that he would give Abram the promised land. And a promise is something that somebody tells you that they are going to do for you or do, and they do it. That's the best part of the promise, is that it's being done. God promised to give the promised seed also to Abram. And there's something that called double meaning. And the promised land is one of those words that have double meaning. He promised them that he would get the promised land. And the same promises that he made to Abram, he makes to me and to you. He promised to give us the promised land. And Abram, he promised him that too. But him, to Abram, he was looking for a place that he could pitch his tent and not have to worry about moving anymore. And God gave him that promise. He said he was looking for that land. And that's what we are looking for today. The double meaning of the word to us is that Abram was looking for a physical place and we're looking for a spiritual place, where we will spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. All Abram had to go on was the promise of God. God had promised him, and that's all he had, was the word of God. Brothers and sisters, that's why your word ought to mean something to you. If you say you're going to do it, you ought to do it. Because your word ought to mean something to you. This is why in the yesterdays, our forefathers, if they said something and they stuck their hand out to shake your hand, it meant something. Didn't mean that they were going to try to con you in the next 4 or 5 seconds. It meant that they meant what they said and they said what they meant. And God, yeah, he's just like that. He promised Abraham that he would inherit the land. He said, I'll show you the land that you will inherit. And I want you to remember that Abraham, and saying this, and I'm going to go ahead and say this right now, Abraham never did own that land. But God promised. Hey, that tells me that Abraham got something he can look forward to. That's in the future. God's going to keep his word. And he said it, and that's enough. If I don't believe it, it doesn't mean it's not true. It means I'm just not a believer. I just don't believe his word. The promised land refers to the land of Palestine, the land of Israel. The promised land definitely refers to heaven for those of us that are believers today. The promised land of Canaan is a symbol, it's a type of heaven. It's not heaven itself, it's a picture, it's the way it's going to be. It's a land that God's going to provide and give to the nation of Israel. And heaven is a place that the believers of God, of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit will inherit one day. But you got to do something while you're down here. God's promise to believers that he will inherit heaven. God's promised land refers to the whole wide world. Abraham is a blessing to everybody that will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the whole world that Abram and believers are to inherit. The promised land was the assurance of a personal inheritance from the Lord. God made a promise to Abraham, and it was going to be transferred to all of those that was Abraham's children. If you don't believe that children believe in inheritance, you promise them something. And they expect you to do exactly what you said. And I expect God to take me to glory when I leave this place, because he's kept his word so far. And I know he's going to keep it in the end. It's the faith and the trust that I have in his word. Everything is going to be all right. Abraham believed that he would live in a new city within his own land and country. All given to him by God himself. That's all Abraham had, was the promise of God. And brothers and sisters, let me just stop right here and tell you that if all you have are the promises of God, you have enough. You have enough if you live by it and you take the promises of God. He will fulfill his promise that he made to you. All he asks us to do is keep our part of the bargain. And if I keep my part of the bargain, I sell out to him. I turn everything over to him. I let him regulate my life and the activities that I'm involved in every day. I turn to him and I turn away from the world. If you're going to serve this God that's in heaven that made this promise to Abraham, you're going to have to turn your back on the world and walk away from the world. And you said, Baggett, how can I do that? And I continue to live down here. I don't know all of the song, but it seemed like I heard y'all sing song one sometime or other. Said, order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me and guide me wherever you need me to go. When you turn your back on the world, you're asking God to order your steps in his word. We are to inherit the promised land of heaven when we turn away from the world. You can't turn to the world and inherit what God have for you. You got to turn away from the world and follow God. The promised land was an assurance and a conquest and a rest. And it's a spiritual victory and it's a spiritual rest. You're going to have difficult times while you're down here living for God. But if you rest with him and you understand that whatever he promised you that he will provide, you have to know that you are walking and you're living in the presence of God. You have to know that you have the love of God when everybody else around you seem to hate you. You have to know that you have the love of God when everybody else seem to want to hurt you. You have to know that you have the protection and the care of God. You have to know that God have provided a way for you to escape, and he is your protection, he is your shield, and he is your buckler, because he promised Abraham that he would inherit it. Point number two, God promised to give Abraham Abraham the promised seed. He would be the father of a great nation, and he would be the beginning of a new race of people. God meant for the promised land to be physical and to be a seed, to be a physical and a literal people. Abraham was to give birth to a new race of people, the Jews, the nation of Israel. And I said to myself, I don't know what Abraham was thinking when God promised him that he would have a seed, and he is already 75 years old and don't have nobody to inherit anything that he has. But God said it, and that's enough. Whether I believe it, I got to believe it if I keep walking with it. But sometimes we just don't believe what God said. Baggy, why do you say that? I say that because I don't live like he would have me to live. When I read and study his word, and it tells me what I'm supposed to do, and I do just the opposite of what he says, that tells me that I don't believe what he said in his word. God will do just what he said in his word. The promised seed was to be a spiritual people. Abraham was to give birth to a new race of people. I'm glad you asked. You are the seed of Abraham. If you believe in the word of God by faith, you are the seed of Abraham. Abraham is the father of faith. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, you are the seed of Abraham. You are of the race of Abraham because you believe in the promise that Abraham made to God. Didn't have any children of his own, but God said it, and that's enough. Didn't know where the children they were going to be coming from, but he trusted God and he walked with God. Brothers and sisters, if you got faith, you don't need to see it. You claim it and you believe it and you walk in it and you know that it's there, and by faith it will come. If you walk with him, he'll teach you how to do what he needs for you to do. Don't know how Brother Abraham made it through, but he made it on his faith that he had in God. He did what God told him to do. Took him a long time to get there, but he finally got there doing what God said. I told you Abraham and his wife had no children, and God had promised him that he would have a seed, but he didn't have a seed. How can you be the father of many nations and don't have a child of your own? But God, you got to learn. We have to learn that when it seemed the darkest and like it's not going to happen, you just got to stay on your knees just a little while longer and talk to God and call his promises back before him. Lord, you said that if I became your child and walked as you would have me to walk, you would provide just what I need. I don't have a job, but I'm working. I'm working on getting ready for my job because you promised me that you would care for me. I got myself in the right position, and now, God, it's time for you to show up. But don't get weary in well-doing. God promised Abraham that he would be a father of many nations when he was 75 years old. Isaac wasn't born until he was almost 100 years old. But you got to wait on God. Time in our hand is not like time in God's hand. Sometimes we get tired of waiting on God. There's a song Juanita Bynum singing, I think. I don't mind waiting on God. But sometime, I said it before, we can sing a lie as well as we preach a lie. You got to wait on God. But we in a hurry because our time is shorter. God has all time in his hand. He promised us 70. That's why I can thank him every morning when I get up, because I got 70 plus 7. Thank you, Lord. He done blessed me to be there. See, but you got to know that you got to walk with him. And when you walk with him, he'll talk to you. He'll let you know you're going down the wrong path. You need to turn around and go back here. But God, this road doesn't seem like it's been traveled much, but that's the
the way I want you to go, where nobody else have walked. That way, when you start giving credit for something that's been done, God will get the credit, and not that he needs it, but he wants it to draw somebody else. That's why every now and then, church folks, you need to testify. You need to tell somebody how good God, I know this might not be right grammatically, done already been to you. God done been good to you, and you kept it to yourself. It won't do him any good. You got to tell somebody about how good God have been to you. Then he will bless you. Abraham didn't have any children, and God telling him about he's going to be father of many nations, but he just kept right on believing and trusting in God. When you don't see a way, that's when you can ask him to order your steps. When I can't see where I'm going, Lord, place my feet on the rock where you need for me to step, so I can tell somebody about how good you've already been. God made a promise, and God will keep his promise. God made some personal promises to Abraham. He told him that you will be the father of many nations. He said, and I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. I just want him to bless them. Bless them, God. That's why every now and then you need somebody that hates you, that you don't need to look at them and hate them back. You need to thank God for, because your enemy is why you where you are today. If you didn't have any enemy, you think you had arrived. But when you got an enemy, you know you got somebody to fight. That's why I don't worship the devil, but he's around and he keeps you straight, because when you see him, how bad he's going to be off in hell burning and can't get out. I don't like this heat that we have here now, but I like warm weather, so God's going to have it just right for me. See, but you got to know that he promised you some things that are personal. What he promised you might not be what he promised anybody else. God used Abraham in a different way than he used Adam. Abraham, before God got to Abraham, he was dealing with them as a group. But when he got to Abraham, I just believe God said, well, he didn't say it like this, y'all, but this is how I make myself understand. Well, I keep trying to deal with all of them people, and I can't deal with all of them people because they won't listen to me. I believe I'll reach over here and get this man and take him out and see what I can do with him, make some out of him. He took Abraham and he made the nation of Israel out of them in a long run, but it wasn't something that happened lickety split. That's why we get in a hurry with God. That's something else I heard. You can't hurry God. You got to take God's time, because his timing is always right. You got to know that you know that you know that you know that you're trusting in God. God promised to make Abraham's name great. Great. The only other name that's greater than Abraham is Jesus. Abraham is in the Arab world. He's in the Muslim world, the Judeo-Christian world, the Christian world. God said that, y'all. That's in the word. I will make you great among all nations. Everybody talks about Abraham some kind of way. That's your father in the spirit. He's the father of the faithful. God promised him to make him a blessing to other people. To other people. He's a blessing to somebody else other than himself and the people that are in his immediate family. We have to know that you need to bless somebody else. Bless them some kind of way. If God have blessed you, you ought to bless somebody else. And then God will constantly bless you. God promised to protect Abraham and secure him. That's why, My wife tells me I talk too much anyway, but every now and then, especially if you come by here early in the morning, during the week, you may see me just walking around the outside, just walking around the outside of this building. Yeah, Thank you, Lord, for protecting your house. It's not mine. God, I thank you for protecting it. A lot of people, some people got upset because of when May Day was a couple of weeks ago. They don't know. I prayed, walked around. People are going to drop cigarette butts, and I don't like cigarette butts. I used to smoke. They're going to drop a beer can. But I've been here now about 20 years. And I remember 20 years ago when I come down here on Sunday morning, I had to pick up a whole lot of trash. Oh, but God. One of my guys saw me out there doing it one Sunday morning, and I was dressed in my suit, and he said, stop. He said, B. I said, what? He said, you do this every Sunday morning? I said, yeah. He said, give me that thing. I said, what? He said, give me that thing. I had a picker up, one of them things you pick up fast. He said, give it to me. He said, get me some bags this week. He said, and I'll pick it up. He picked it up for about 9 or 10 years. And I might have seen him in this church maybe one or two times. But do you see what I'm saying? God had him in place. There are no coincidence with God. Everything is on purpose with God. That's why you got to intentionally, you got to want to serve God. You got to do it on purpose. You can't accidentally serve God. I didn't know I was going to. God promised Abraham that there he would do great things for the Lord and including other people as well. God made that promise to Abraham. And in the journey, he said, you will have followers. And they will not be fake. They will be true followers. This is why you and I, you and me, you and all the rest of us, we don't have the right to judge somebody else. You don't have the right. For it says it in the Bible in this kind of way, some in the New Testament, should one man judge another man's slave? You don't have that right. Neither do I. God is the giver. And he promises Abraham that those, and some of the people that are following God, you and I, we probably wouldn't even receive them. And you know what? Somebody was like that one day by you. Point number three. God promised to give Abram the promised seed who would be the Savior and the Messiah of the whole wide world. He promised Abraham that in him all the families of the earth were to be blessed. Now let me ask you a question. Is there any family in the world that would not be blessed if they received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Every family in the world, if you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, will be blessed. The promised seed of Christ. This is a reference to the Messiah. That's another one of those double meanings that's in the Word of God. A blessing this great, as affecting the whole world, could only refer to the Savior, the only God Himself, through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, could bless us all. Because
we receive him as Lord and Savior, the whole, we could be blessed, and the whole world would be blessed. This is something that no one else could do. It's literally a blessing for every family that would receive him. Genesis 3 and 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman's seed, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise his head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Speaking of the coming and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the seed of a woman would bruise his head, who is Satan. This is the blessing that the whole, all the families of the world could receive, and it had to come through Abram, because God said that's who it would come through. And it has arrived, and we just need to receive it, as receive him as Lord and Savior. The call of Abram and the promises made to him were unique. They were different from any other promises given to any others. God called Abram to father a whole new race of people, a people who would carry on the godly line of believers to eventually bear the promised seed, the Savior of the whole wide world. From the very beginning of human history, beginning with Adam, God had promised to send the promised seed through the godly line of Adam and Seth. Time and again, God had to intervene to keep the line pure. And this he did right up to the great flood. After the great flood, things got better. God found a man that he could put his trust in and that would do like he would want him to do. Although Abram was a godly man and he was a friend of God, he yet messed up. He yet sinned. There's only been one perfect person to walk this earth, and that was God incarnated as Jesus the Christ. Abram was a man after God's own heart and called a friend of God. This means that he was born of flesh and that he had some of his father Adam in him, but he walked with God. Brothers and sisters, because of the promises that God had made, he promised us through Abram, if we receive his son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, he would bless us because we did what he would have us to do. When you live the way God would have you to live, he'll bless you. And I know here this is Father's Day, and I've been saying God, but God is the Father, the Creator, and the Maker of the whole universe. He's my role model for who I'm trying to be just like. And I know I have sin in my life. I had sin in my life, and I'm still working, trying to get it out. Every now and then, something flash up, and I forget about who I belong to. And then I have to go, and I have to repent because I've walked away from it. But because of the promise that God have made, I know that everything will be all right. He's my father, and I love him. And because of the promise that he made to Abram, I still have a right to the tree of life. And I will go back with him when he comes down here to receive his church. Because of the promise that he had made to Abram, I'm talking about my father now. I love him because of the way that he set things up. He made a way that if I walked away from him, I could come back home. Didn't have to stay out there and suffer by myself. I could come back home and allow daddy to take care of me. I've said this before because it's true, and I don't mind saying it. If you slip in here on me sometime, you'll find me sitting in the front row about millways, and I'm just sitting there. Sometime I curl my knees up under me, but I'm sitting in my daddy's lap because I know I've come back home. I know I was walked away from him, but he promised me that if you repent of your sin and come back to me, I'll love you just like you've never gone away from me.
And you, all of us, whether we're willing to admit it or not, have had, we have been ourselves a misbehaving child. And we came back home and seemed like everything was all right, like we hadn't made any mistakes at all. That's the way God is. He'll take you back because of the promise that he made to Abram. You remember Abram in his life. One time he went down in Egypt and he lied to the king. He told the king that Sarah was his sister. But then they found him. Abraham had forgot what, I don't know whether he had forgot what he told him or not, but his affection for his wife came on him, and he showed some kind of affection to her that a brother wouldn't show to his sister. And the king called him in, said, "You lied to me." But I think before all that happened, God visited him in a dream and said, "Don't touch this woman." See, God won't let you sometime. God won't let you do wrong because you are walking with him. God had something special for Abram to do, and he had something special for Sarah to do. Sarah was to give birth to the next child that would take the blessings on, and she gave birth. The king didn't touch her, and when the king sent him away, he sent him away with blessings. Listen, he said, "I'll bless them that bless you. I'll curse them that curse you." God had a blessing for Abraham in Abimelech, because Abimelech blessed him with animals and silver and gold when he left him. See, God, I'm not saying that God will bless what you do when it's wrong, but God will stop you if you're his child and won't let you do something wrong. Most of us, y'all don't have to raise your hands on this. Somebody have done something wrong to you, and all of a sudden you had a flashback about what I used to do or used to say, and you thought about it. But then God, in a lickety split, you change your mind, but it entered your mind. So God promised us that he would keep us, and he would protect us, and he would secure us, but you got to walk with him every day of your life. That's why you have to stay on your knees, and you have to constantly pray, because this world is not your home. You just a stranger traveling through. You're on a journey. You're a graveyard traveler. You're on your way there. You'll either spend eternity with God, or you'll spend eternity away from God. But through the promises that God made to Abraham, if you receive him as Lord and Savior, you can become a child of Abraham, a believer of the faith. You can trust in him. When you trust in him, everything will be all right. Yes, I trust him, but you're going to have some difficult time, because Satan will see how prosperous you are, and he'll put some stuff in your way, some stuff that you used to do, some stuff that you used to say. But you have to just tell him to order your steps. Lift my head up. My eyes are on heaven and not on the things around me. Brother Feaster said something like that. I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. If you look to the hills, you can't see what's at your feet. If you keep your eyes on God, you can't see what the devil have for you. Devil have nothing good for you. But if you keep your eyes on God, you will step on the devil, because he'll be under your feet. That's why you need to walk with God. Let him order your steps about where you're going to go or what you're going to do. But there's one thing. God, Lord have mercy. Listen, when God get to dealing with you, you just do what you know you ought to do. And sometime you don't know what you ought to do, but what you're thinking about doing, you won't do, because you don't remember whether it's in this word. See, everybody can't live a perfect life. In fact, not a one of you have lived a perfect life since you got saved. Since you woke up this morning, you probably done something wrong, thought something wrong. But God is a forgiving God. He won't hold it against you. He does not carry a grudge. He just loves you because of who you are. God will keep his promise. My question to you and to myself is, will I keep my promises that I made to God? You said, "For God I live, for God I'll die." Well, you better mean it, because the devil would try you.
Listen to me. God will give you assurance about what he will do for you. But you just got to trust him and believe in faith that he'll do what he said he'd do. And I'm through, but let me tell you my story. There was this Christian man who owned a factory. His first name was Peter. I've forgotten what his last name is. Not the disciple Peter. Even dropped or something. I've forgotten what his last name is. Anyway, he owned a large factory. He had about 200 people working for him. And this was back in the early 1900s. He had this factory and people were working for him. And he ran a banking out of his office too. He would loan the people money that worked for him because they worked for him. And he wouldn't take it out of their check. He would give them, if they worked 40 hours, he would pay them for 40 hours. Then they were supposed to come back and pay him what they owed. He trusted them that much because he was a believer. This went on for years and people owed him a whole lot of money and nobody would pay him. So he come up with the idea. He wrote a memo and put it on the board. If you will honestly come to me with your debt, how much you owe me, by Thursday, 12 o'clock, with an honest report of what you owe me, by Thursday, 12 o'clock, your debt will be forgiven. It was up when they got into work Monday morning. All the people went by the clock in, read it, and said, he's crazy. He ain't going to do that. They did that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Thursday morning, nobody would go and clock in. They was all standing out there arguing about he wouldn't do it. He's not going to do it. And about 11:45, one man said, I'm going to try it. They said, you crazy. You ain't. He said, I'm going to try it. He went on in there and tried it. Sat down with the boss man. He said, how much do you owe me? He said, this is what I owe you. He took his pen. He wrote paid in full and gave it back to him. He got up to walk out the office. He said, no, sit down. He said, but I'm going to go out here and tell the rest of them you'll do what you said. He said, no, you won't. He said, they need to believe in me without any encouragement from anybody else. He made the man stay in his office until 12 o'clock. At 12 o'clock, he told him, you can go out. He went out, raised up his thing, said, hey, my debt's forgiven. They said, I'm going too. When they got to the door was locked. So now, apply to today. Don't wait till you're dead to ask Jesus to save you. You better do it while you still have time. With that, we'll extend an invitation for you to come to Christ just as you are.